But I do bring you greetings from Sunnyside Community, from many who know and love you and care for you. Louise Caldwell, I had some time with her just this past week, and what a wonderful lady. She had so many good things to say about you, and she was very careful. She says, oh, I wish, she'd kind of hold back, and she'd say, well, I don't want to say just about one person because then there's the other, and she wanted to hold you all up, and she just wants to say that she loves all of you. And it's wonderful being there, but it's wonderful being here with you this morning for this opportunity to worship God with you, to open God's Word. And in talking with Irene, she shared with me that she's from North Carolina, and she's only been here for 10 years. So, that's a good start. We hope that, yeah. And that she's a teacher. And when she said that she's a retired teacher, I didn't say, what do you teach? Because that's, rather impersonal. But I said, who do you teach? Who did you teach? And she kind of said with real gusto, she said, middle school children. Now, there's a lot of emotion in there. But Jesus, as 12 years old, that was our New Testament text. And we meet Samuel in this particular text, who had said by Josephus the historian that it's very likely that Josephus was around that same age, about 12 years old, when this story takes place in the Old Testament. And I'm sure some of you have heard the phrase mentioned at times, don't send a boy to do a man's job, that's been said. But in this case, in both of our readings, it's a boy who's doing a man's job in both of these situations. So I read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is God's Word. And the child Samuel served the Lord and Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was not many open visions. And it came to pass at that time that when Eli lay down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim so that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel answered and said, here am I. And Samuel ran to old Eli and said, here am I, for you called me. Eli said, I did not call you. Lie down again. Samuel went and lay down again. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for you called me. Old Eli answered and said, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to Samuel. And the Lord called Samuel yet again, a third time. And Samuel arose, went to old Eli and said, here am I, for you called me. And then Eli perceived, finally, that the Lord was calling the child. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls to you again, that you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And so Samuel went and lay down again in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant listens. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I am going to do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone that hears it shall tingle. And in that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity that he knows about, because his sons made themselves vile, and they restrained themselves not. Therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not go unpurged. And Samuel lay until morning. And when morning came, he opened the doors of the house. And Samuel feared to say anything to Eli concerning the vision. But Eli called to Samuel, "My son," and he said, "Here am I." And Eli said, "What is it that the Lord has said to you?" And Samuel told him everything. He hid not anything. And Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good." And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. This is the reading from God's holy word. So we have the story of two boys in two testaments, Samuel here, Jesus in the New Testament. And with Jesus, he was at the Passover festival with his parents. This is not the first time he went, and it certainly wasn't the last time he went. Jesus was there as an infant, days after his birth, to be circumcised. So the first shedding of Jesus' blood happened in Jerusalem. And then every year at the Passover, the family would come back again and again and again. And I just wonder what rituals, what traditions are in your families in which you grew up or that you have led with your old family or yourselves, that you would maybe go to the mountains every year, maybe to the beach, or maybe a family reunion. For myself personally, in northern Indiana, I'm Polish, and there was a little park called White Eagle Park. And it wasn't much of a, it was kind of a dusty little path. And they would have pony carts, and I used to love to get in the cart and ride the pony around the cart. This is when I was 6 years old and younger. And they would have boxes, and they would put sand in these boxes because we were right on the edge of Lake Michigan, having a lot of sand from the beach. And in the sand, they would mix in coins. And children would have a chance to get in there and find pennies and nickels, quarters, sometimes silver dollars, just going through the sand. We had a blast. That's the only thing I remember about White Eagle Park. But it was quite a tradition for our family. For Jesus and his family, it meant 7 days in Jerusalem. The population would swell from 25,000, four times that many. Crowds would come in. They would bring in the flocks of sheep. They would hear the bleating of the sheep. They would be butchered. And they would have these meals. They would eat standing up. They would remember their ancestors, that they had to eat in haste and leave, fleeing from Egypt as they were going out to find the promised land. This rich heritage. And when Jesus was 12, he was there with his folks, and they left, but he didn't leave with them this time. He stayed behind, and they didn't notice it until they had gotten 1 day's journey back toward Nazareth. It would take about 3 days to walk all the way back to Nazareth. And perhaps by this time, the Bible is silent on this, perhaps by this time, Mary had other children, because we know that she had sons and daughters, and perhaps she had one or two or maybe even three. So if she had little ones to tend to, she was preoccupied with them. But after that first day, she and Joseph know Jesus. Where is he? Probably leaving those children with the family. They come back and they're looking around Jerusalem. They're looking with all kinds of emotion. They're afraid. There's bad things that happen to children then, as bad things happen to children now that get lost. It was a terrible, terrible fright for them. They looked all over, and finally, in the last place they looked, there he was in the temple, not teaching. He was a perfect pupil. He was there learning from the doctors and the scribes, and he was listening and asking them questions. And this is important. Because too often I get these things backwards. I ask a lot of questions, but I don't listen very much. I think I'm listening by asking questions, but that's not the way it is. When I talk with residents at Sunnyside, I'm at my best when I just simply close the mouth and when I'm listening to whatever they have to say. Maybe a question once in a while, but mostly letting them take the lead as if it's a dance. And that's a beautiful way to be. There's a wonderful farmer who is from the Mossy Creek area who came to Sunnyside, and he told me of a minister, a young minister, who came to visit him, and his farm was right next to the Mossy Creek Church. And he said this one day he was chopping wood, and here comes the minister, and the minister starts talking to him and starts, you know, preaching to him and asking him questions. And this man was pretty old by this time, and he just pointed the finger at the young minister. He said, "Now hold on," he said, "hold on, son." He said, "I listen to you every Sunday. You come to see me, it's your turn to listen to me." And he straightened out that young preacher. And how we preachers need that kind of straightening out sometimes, to be able to listen. And you might be, as I am, that I look back on my youth at the fine teachers I had, trying to teach me, trying to instill knowledge and wisdom in me. I wasn't the best student in the world, and I regret that. But there's still time, no matter how many white hairs we have or how many hairs have fallen from our heads, we can still be good pupils. We can learn from God's Word. We can grow in His grace. And this is a wonderful thing to do. And it's wonderful that we can learn from God and from His Word in this regard. And so Mary, exasperated, a little upset, she asks a very simple question of Jesus, and she uses the word, three-letter word, why? Why? You know, oftentimes people pray that, but it's in an accusative kind of a way. God, why didn't you let me? Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you? You know, did you hear about the minister? He got upset with God. He had been praying for 2 years to win the lottery, and after there was just a big lottery last night. Nobody won it. And this minister said, "God, why didn't you let me win the lottery? I knew exactly what to do with that money." And finally, God appeared to the minister and said, "Well, the least you could do is buy a ticket." And sometimes we gotta hold back. We don't want to get involved. And Mary was basically telling Jesus, the boy Jesus, "I'm so relieved you're all right. I think I'm going to kill you. You know, I just want to kill you." You know, now, and Jesus was obedient. And he came back with Joseph and Mary. But here we have the first words, the first recorded words of Jesus that he said to Mary. He said, "Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's?" And what is Father's, you know, house? Well, actually, technically, that word is just in my Father's will, doing what my Father wants me to do. And Jesus was so attuned to that he went back and he grew up and he has become the Savior of the world. But as we look at this story and as we see the agony of Mary and Joseph looking for their lost child, it was a terrible thing. The Gospels are full of stories where, guess what? God is looking for us. He's looking for you. In the story of the lost sheep, in the story of the woman who lost a coin from her headdress, in the story of the lost sons, Jesus is telling that God is searching for us. And he does this with such a focus, with such a desire, that he will not rest until we are found in him. I love the story in the same Gospel of Luke, where in Luke, Zacchaeus is up the tree, and Jesus looks up and says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I must go to your house today." And Jesus makes that statement. He said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Guess what? When Christ looks for us, we will be found and we are lost no more. That is good news. Thanks be to God.